This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me this morning? The book of Isaiah. Seth, wanting to know, would you roll that whiteboard behind me this morning? The book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Some of you will know this verse off by heart. This morning on the last Sunday of 2020, coming to the close of one year and the beginning of the other, the Holy Spirit has laid upon me some things that I need to share with you, but there is a specific verse that I believe the Lord wants to bring out more than any other to be an anchor as we go forward. If you don't have this memorized, I encourage you to memorize it. If you don't have it underlined, I encourage you to underline it. If it's not highlighted, I encourage you to highlight it. This is one of those verses that when it's planted inside of you, the Spirit will bring back over and over, and I believe in the days that are coming, it is going to come back more and more. Isaiah 26:3. I just want to know here, how many of you know this verse off by heart? Isaiah 26:3? Some of you, that's awesome. When I ask this again next Sunday, it'll be a whole bunch more. Isaiah 26:3, it says this, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you." Why? Because he trusts in you. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. If I were to ask you, when we are talking about having a mind at peace, I want you to think about what is the first thing that comes to your mind. We could spend all afternoon if we took the time and talked about that. I want to share with you a scene in Scripture that comes to my mind when the Holy Spirit brings up peace all the time. You know the story. It's the account where Jesus sent his disciples in the boat. They were heading off to the other side. Jesus, in the middle of the night, decides to walk out on the water. The waves are beating the boat. The storm is raging. They first of all think that he's a ghost, and later on he comes up and they recognize, and Peter says, "If it's you, tell me to come out and walk to you." We all learned this in Sunday school. On the flannel graph board, it was Peter who stepped out of the boat, and we got a glimpse of him walking on the water. I got to tell you, one of the scenes that was touching to me in the shack, and most of us have watched the shack, is when Jesus took the young man out there, and he was in the boat, and he said, "Get out of the boat." The boat was sinking, "Get out." And he stepped on the water, and he was able to walk on the water with Jesus. And I love the latter scene at the end when they went back out in the water and they both ran across the water to the other side. If you've not seen the shack, I encourage you to watch it. Matthew chapter 14 captures it. When Peter said, "Jesus, if it's you, invite me to come," Jesus made the four-letter word that changed Peter's life, "Come." I want you to think for a moment. If you'd have been in that boat and he would have looked at you and said your name and said, "Come," would you have stepped out? I want to tell you, there is going to be a lot of boats in this next year that you're going to be in the storm. Jesus is going to look at you, he's going to say your name, and he's going to say, "Step out of that boat of security and meet me on the water." Some of you will step out. Some of you are going to stay in the boat and go, "Jesus!" Peter stepped out. And for a time, he literally walked on the water. But, verse 30, that word "but" represents a translation in Peter's life, a transition from him walking above to down below. that literally took him to the point of being absolutely fearful for his life. And we know what it was. As long as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible records he was walking above, walking on the waves. But when he began to look at the waves, look at the storm, look at the water, look at what was going on, the Bible says he began to sink. When he saw the wind, when he saw the waves, when he took his eyes and his mind off the one who is above the waves, above the wind, above the dark, above the deep waters, fear instantly entered him. And he began to go down. I want to tell you what you already know. We are living in a day, it has always been true, but we are living in a day when the dividing line could not be clearer. There are those around us who are looking at the wind, they're looking at the waves, they're looking at the propaganda, they're looking at the deception, they're looking at the storm of the so-called pandemic, and as a result of that, they are filled with fear that is taking them down. And in their minds, in their emotions, in their lives, they are sinking. They are drowning. And yet I want to tell you, in the same storm, with the same waves and the same wind and the same darkness and the same that's going on, there are those who are not afraid. There are those who have not lost their peace. There are those who are walking above the waves. They are not moved whatsoever by the storm we're in. Why? Because their minds are stayed on the one who is above the storm. Those whose minds are stayed on him have perfect peace. I love this anchor verse. I want to tell you this morning, as I get going, I would like you, if you have your pen and paper, I want to give you a title for today's sermon. If you could just write down mind anchors. Mind anchors. 2 Timothy 1:7, a lot of you have that verse memorized. We have not been given a spirit of fear. But can I tell you, a lot of people around us have. They have been given a spirit of fear. They have been given a spirit of anxiety. Those of the world have. I want to say this clearly. Those who are bound by religion have. Have you noticed that religious people are also bound by fear? Those who don't have their minds set on truth. And let me tell you, those who know the truth will set you what? Free. That means if you're not fear, if you're in fear, you're missing some truths. I'll never forget the time in my life where I was dealing with fear issues, and I remember the Lord said to me, Cole, you're just missing some truths. You get the truths in those areas, and that fear is going to disappear because truth sets you free. Can I tell you this? When you're walking above the waves and you're surrounded by people in fear, I don't want you to judge them. I want you to look at them and go, they're just missing some truths, and I have them, and I'm going to give them to you. One of the greatest gifts you and I have to give to people in this day is the truths that you and I have that cause us to live above the waves, above the storm. It's amazing how many believers have them and hold on to them. I want to tell you, though, as children of God, we have not been given a spirit of fear. The spirits that we have been given, the enemy has tried to bring fear on. Don't raise your hand. I want to ask you, has the enemy tried to bring fear on you? He's tried with me. He's done some financial things that tried to bring fear. He's done some health things that have tried to bring fear. He's done some marriage things that have tried to bring fear. You and I are not immune to the enemy coming and trying to bring fear in our life. Believe me, it happened before. It's going to happen again. But I want to tell you, if I am filled with a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, if that has filled my room, when fear comes, there's no room to get in. I'll tell you one of the great pictures the Lord gave me years ago. When I saw Joseph and Mary drive into Bethlehem and they were looking around and every door they knocked on, there's going, no room, there's no room, there's no room. I remember the Lord said to me, when fear shows up in your town and he starts knocking on your door, just go, no room, it's full. No room, I'm full. No room, I'm full. No room in this inn for fear. The only way fear gets in is if we're not full of the right stuff. And can I tell you, some of us are not full of the right stuff. The Bible says we have been given a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. And when we are full, it didn't matter what came at us in 2020, there was no room for fear. Can I declare to you, when we are full in 2021, it doesn't matter what's going to come, there's no room. And I'll tell you, fear is going to come knocking on my door. I know he is. Hi, fear. No room. Close it up. Fear is going to come knocking at your door. You better be full of it. You can walk out today and say, the pastor told me I need to be full of it. Just make sure you define the it. A spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. Can I tell you, I'm full of it. Would you say that with me? I'm full of it. No, don't say you're full of it. You can say that because it's true. Today I need to take you back to the Christmas story. I need to give you what God Almighty gave to a young girl that trusted him to walk her through a storm in her life that she could not have imagined when he came. Beginning with an unwed pregnancy and ending at a cross of Calvary, looking at her son tortured, dying, losing his life. Mary had no idea the storm that she was going to go through. God gave Mary some words that held her. God gave her some mind anchors in the midst of the storm. God gave her some things that kept her above the waves, kept her from despair, kept her from depression, kept her from fear, kept her from going down in the midst of all that she went through. God gave her mind anchors that held her. I want to say this for the sake of the Holy Spirit. There are many of us in the body of Christ that don't have any mind anchors that hold us when the storms come. We are tossed. We are easily moved. Someone's negative word about us, oh, we're shriveling up, and all of a sudden we're... When you have no mind anchors, I want to tell you the smallest thing will move you. When you have mind anchors, let the storm rage, let it beat, let the hurricane come, let the gale winds pound on you, you will not be moved. God wants every one of his kids to have mind anchors, so when the storm comes and the storm goes, we are still standing. And throughout that storm, we have walked above the wave and not once have gone beneath it, not once felt like we're drowning, not once felt like we're alone, not once felt like there was no hope, not once felt like, where is God? If you've ever felt like that, it is because there are mind anchors that you need to get hold of. I don't want you to turn there, but I want you to write down Luke chapter 1. From the very beginning, God planted some words inside of Mary's mind in the midst of all that was going on. She had no idea what was coming, no idea of the storm, no idea. But I want to tell you, just like we have no idea what's coming. The Lord brought this to mind when I was preparing. I want you to imagine last year, the last Sunday of the year, as I stood in the front of the church, a church that was much fuller than our limitation today, if I would have stood up here and I asked you a question and said, I'd like us to take some time, let's write down on the whiteboard some of the things that are going to happen in 2020. How many of you would have ever, in your wildest imagination, would have been able to think about and write down any of what has taken place? At the end of 2020, Canada will look like China. Everywhere you go, every person will be masked. How many of us would have thought in 2020 that a year later at Christmas, we would not be allowed to leave our house and go to someone else's house? How many of us would have thought that 40% of small businesses would close up because they had to stop shop because of a fear of spread? How many of us would have ever had across our mind, maybe next year we won't be able to go to church at Christmas? I want to tell you, I don't think any one of us, yes, the one percenters knew. Yes, the ones that planned this 5-6 years ago knew. But none of us knew what was coming down. None of us knew what we were going to be hit with. None of us knew the regulations and the agenda. None of us knew the storm we would enter into. I'm not even going to ask you to help me make a list for 2021. Do you know why? We can't do it. If I had a 1%er here this morning and I said, could you lay out the agenda? They could lay it out. They know what's coming. They know when it's going to be released. They know when it's going to be closed up. They know when. They do. We don't. What we do know is that there are storms that are going to come. Without the mind anchors, I want to say this to you very carefully. In this next year, some of you are going to know people who have been Christian, going to church their entire lives. You are going to watch them go down and lose their faith in this next year. You're going to see it. You're going to see people who appeared incredibly strong in their faith, that there is going to be a door open to fear and paranoia. They are going to drink the Kool-Aid and they are going to go down. You're going to see it. You know them. I want to tell you, the heart of God is that not one of his kids, not one of them. If Jesus called the entire boat of disciples on those water, his heart would have been not one of them go down. His heart was for Peter not to go down, but Peter shifted. He lost his anchor and down he went. Praise God, Jesus pulled him out just he does when we go down. But I want to tell you, his heart is that we don't go down. With mind anchors, we're not going down. I need to share with you 6 mind anchors that God gave to Jesus, gave to Mary. And I want you to think about this. Of all the things that Almighty God could have spoken to Mary, of all the things, you look at it, and there were 6 things he gave her. Of all the things he could have spoken in the universe, I want you to think about why those 6. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to share this with you briefly, but I want to encourage you in this next week. You go back into Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 1. You look at these verses. You allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and you let them become mind anchors for you as well. plus add a whole bunch more. Would you write down number one? Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Would you just write down the word Jesus? Just write down the word Jesus. When Gabriel was talking to Mary, he said, Mary, you are going to be with child, and you will give him the name Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, those of you who have kids, Jane and I chose our children's names. We went to the Lord, we prayed, we had some choices. We made a mistake one time where we told somebody else, one of our friends, the name we were going to give our daughter. They had their baby first, they took the name. Has that ever happened to you? There are times you don't tell people things. They took the name. That's okay. We went to God and said, God, that must have been plan B. What's plan A? God gave us plan A. We gave our daughter her name, Samantha. Isn't it interesting that Almighty God and Jesus in heaven, before he ever came down, I wonder if the Father looked at him and said, well, son, what do you want to be called? You think he gave him a choice? I think the two of them talked. I think the Holy Spirit talked. But when Gabriel came and said, Mary, you're not choosing the name. Joseph is not choosing the name. He's a little slower. He's a man. He'll come around. But he's not choosing the name. I'm telling you today the name that your son is going to have, his name is going to be Jesus. His name is going to be Jesus. Inside of Mary's mind, it wasn't Jesus, it was Yeshua. That's what she heard. Let me tell you what instantly Mary knew. Yeshua means to deliver. It means to deliver. It means to rescue. It means to rescue. The moment Gabriel said, Mary, his name is Jesus, Mary went, my son. He is going to be the modern day Moses, the deliverer of God's people. Every time Mary spoke that little name over him, Jesus, she was going, you're the deliverer. You're the rescuer. You are coming. You are going to deliver Israel. You are the greater Moses. You are the greater one. Mary, did you know? Love, the other day at Christmas, Arnold came up and said that song, powerful. I think all of us have been touched by that. That one line that says, Mary, did you know that the child that you delivered will soon deliver you? Can I tell you, when Gabriel gave Mary the name Jesus, it became a mind anchor that held her in the midst of all that was going on. God said, my boy is going to be the deliverer. The people of God are going to be delivered through this boy. I don't care what storm. I don't care what rages up. I don't care what demons come at us. I don't care who tries to kill him. I don't care what's going to happen. He is the deliverer. Can I ask you a question? Is the mind anchor of the name of Jesus inside of you so great that it doesn't matter what hits you? It doesn't matter what semi-truck? It doesn't matter what tank rolls over your garden? You look and go, the name of Jesus? I have a deliverer? I got to tell you straight up. There's a lot of so-called believers who are not anchored in the name of Jesus. I've often thought it'd be amazing to hire someone to follow you and I around all day long and just record and write down everything that comes out of our mouth. How many of you would volunteer for that? We got one. Wouldn't it be fascinating at the end of the day, maybe the end of the week, to have someone play back and let us know everything that came out of our mouth and just had us listen to it and go, oh my goodness, did I really say that? Oh, in that circumstance, did I fret or did the name of Jesus come out? I want to tell you, in the midst of this, people who are above the waves, you will hear the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. You will hear the name of Jesus come out of their mouth in every circumstance, in every storm. They're not looking at the waves. They're looking at who is above the waves. This ain't taking me down. This ain't filling me with fear. This isn't going to cause me to be full of anxiety. This isn't causing me to question my faith. I got the name above every name. I got the name above the wave. Can you imagine for a moment, Mary got the name before she was pregnant? A name more powerful. I want you to hear it, a name above every name, a name above every storm, a name above every enemy, a name above every trial, a name above every virus, a name above every fear. Can you imagine? People are already freaking out about the second virus that's been released. Can you imagine? Our government's freaking out, closing our borders. Without faith, they should freak out. I'm so glad people without faith are filled with fear. I'm so glad. They should be. If they were at peace without faith, we'd be in trouble. Can I just remind you today that every person filled with fear and freaking out, that is our mission field. Would you just see a green light flashing going, that's your target. That's your target. That's your target. Do not distance yourself from your target. The name more powerful than any name. Mary was given the name of Jesus. Joseph was given the name of Jesus. That name and what it meant anchored them in the storm. Would you write down number two? In verse 32, Gabriel right after that said, Mary, this Jesus boy, he will be great. He will be great. Mary got the word that her son would be great before he was born. I want to tell you, we have the ability to look back and see and understand this way more clearly than her. Let me ask you, he will be great? How will he be great? She came to recognize that Jesus, her son, was greater than all of the prophets who came ahead of him. Can you imagine that? She came to recognize that her son was greater than King David. Can you imagine that? She came to recognize that her son was even greater than the temple. Are you heretical? She came to recognize her son was greater than creation, greater than any enemy, greater than sin, greater than death, greater than, put it in there, greater than. Mary had the word to hold her mind, and she had to grow into the revelation of his greatness. She did that. I believe she knew how great he was. Can I give you a great example? Mary had attitude. I can't wait to meet her because I think there was some sass in that woman. Do you remember that wedding? Do you remember they ran out of wine and inside of Mary's head she goes, I can fix that. And she goes over to where Jesus was visiting with the boys and she said, Jesus, they ran out of wine. And Jesus goes, woman, what does that have to do with me? Now, can I just say this? Don't ever call your mom woman. But he said, woman, what does that have to do with me? In that moment, she absolutely ignored him. Did you know that? She didn't answer him. She didn't look back at him. She ignored him and said, boys, do whatever he says. Can I tell you, in that first 30 years, it grew inside of her that my son is different. My son is great. My son, whatever he says, it happens. My son, all you do, whatever he tells you, if he tells you to stand on your head, stand on your head, and the wine vats will be full. Whatever he tells you, whatever. Why? Because I know the power of his words. She realized the greatness inside of her son to turn water into wine. Had they seen that before? Never. Mary had that word before he was born. Mary, your son will be great. And I want to tell you, I believe she believed it when she heard it. I believe that later in life where Jesus said, Mary, I'll never leave you or forsake you, I believe she believed it. Even when he was lifting off the ground and was leaving physically, I believe she believed. He won't leave me. But he's leaving you. He said he would never leave me. I believe she believed that when he said, I might die, but I'll never die. I believe at the cross of Calvary, as she was right there, she's going, my son is great. I want to ask you a question today. How great is Jesus in your life? I think the enemy has done a super job in diminishing Jesus, making him smaller and smaller, making our circumstances bigger and bigger, making the waves bigger, making the storms bigger, making the attack bigger. I believe he's done that because he's not very great in our life. Kenneth Hagin, in his book, is the one who wrote it. And we have one in our midst. I love Richard. He is just continually comes. In every circumstance, he goes, God is bigger. God is bigger. God is bigger. Can I ask you a question? What hit us in 2020 that was bigger than God? What hit us? What's going to hit us in 2021 that's bigger than God? Can I tell you? If your God is small, you're going down. If your God is bigger, if your God is great, if you have a mind anchor that says, my Jesus, there's nothing greater out there. You take me onto the playground of life, I'll tell you there's not a bully out there that's bigger than my Jesus. If you got that, it doesn't matter what's coming, you're not going down. That is a mind anchor. Some of us need to increase the size of the greatness of God in our life. Mary had that, and it held her. The mind stayed on thee has perfect peace. Would you write down number three? Chapter 1, verse 32b says this. Gabriel said, Mary, he will be called the Son of the Most High. In verse 35, he will be called the Son of God. I want you to think about this. In the Garden of Eden, when the enemy came to Eve, all he did was ask a question. There is a question that the enemy has been asking for 2,000 years. He's still asking it today, and this is the question. Who really is this Jesus? Do you know that there is a religion today that teaches Jesus was the brother of Lucifer? They have taken Jesus from who he is and have reduced it to here, or maybe elevated Lucifer to here. Do you know that there is a religion today that is very close to us who believes and teaches that Jesus was an angel? Do you know there are people today who believe that Jesus was a good man? Do you know there is an entire religion today that all they do is teach that Jesus was a prophet? That's all he was a prophet. The moment Gabriel said to Mary, Mary, Jesus is the Son of the Most High, inside of Mary, she had a mind anchor that held her in every storm. I want to ask you the question this morning, because if I don't, the enemy is going to. I want to ask you the question, who is Jesus to you? Who is he? If he has been reduced in your life, you need to change that and read. For Mary, when she heard he will be called God's son or the Son of God, he is the Son of the one who created all things. What we know is that Jesus created all things, right? Mary didn't know that yet. But in her mind, this is the Son who created all things. This is the Son of the God who made the covenant with Abraham. This is the Son of the God who delivered Israel from Egypt. This is the Son of the God who built the temple. This is the Son of God who delivered. The child will be God's son. In fact, it says this, his name will be Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Can you imagine for a moment any person who gets the revelation? In the Old Testament, you and I know that when they went into battle, they were told, take the Ark of the Covenant with you. Why? God's presence rested with the Ark. Where the Ark went, the presence of God went. As long as they had the Ark, the enemy was defeated. Why? Because God went with them and God defeated it. No wonder the enemy tried to capture the Ark and take it away. What happens when you and I get a revelation that the elephant of God is with us all the time? Inside of Mary's mind, she had a mind anchor when Gabriel said, the son born to you is going to be the Son of God. God is going to be with you, Mary. Let me ask you this. What storm could shake her with that revelation? I will tell you, every person who goes down in the midst of the storm, they do not have a revelation that God is with them. They're alone. They're alone. They're alone. I wish I could tell you that every believer has a revelation of the presence of God. It's not true. Mary had that mind anchor. God, you are with me. What is impossible for man will now be possible because God is with me. If God is with me, there is not a single thing that will be impossible. That will keep you above the wave. There was no way for Mary to grasp the reality of all that it meant, but she didn't need to. Do you know what? She knew that God would be with her in every storm. I want you to think about it. We're at a place now where we have a revelation that God is not just with us. But he's where? How much should that set us apart from any person who goes, God is here, to God is here? Would you write down number 4? Verse 32, Luke chapter 1, verse 32, Gabriel said this. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Would you just write down throne of David? When Mary heard your son is going to have the throne of David, what did that mean to her? Let me tell you, King David was the king of kings of kings for the people of Israel. Isn't it interesting? God did not say to Mary, he is going to be the son of Saul. And he will get Saul's kingdom. Why? Can I ask you a question? How many people out there do you know named their child Saul? How many? How many people do you know have, do you know someone who has the name David? Just raise your hand. Anybody's got the name David? Virtually every hand in here. Now you do know because my middle name is David. So how many of you know somebody with the name of David in their name? How many of you know? Some of you won't raise your hand. Doesn't matter what's going on, right? I want you to think about it. God did not come to her and say, Mary, your son is going to have the throne of his father Solomon. I want you to think about why he did not use Solomon. It's a no-brainer. He began wise, he ended not so wise. He said, Mary, your son is going to have the throne of his father David. It was David that every king in Israel was compared to from the time of David until Jesus came. David was the comparison king. Why? Because David, what? Had a heart after? We know that. David was blessed by God. David defeated the enemy like no other king. Saul killed his thousands. Why would Mary want her son to get Saul's throne? God is going, you're going to have the throne of your father, David. He killed his 10,000s and his hundreds of thousands. It was David who brought peace to Israel. It was David who brought prosperity to Israel. It was David who brought God to Israel. The throne of David, the reign of David, the time of David was the best in Israel's history. Mary heard, your son is going to have that throne. Mary, the best for Israel is coming through your boy. That was a mind anchor. For Mary to know that her baby Jesus would be given the throne of David meant everything was going to be okay. Everything was going to be restored. The people would be free again. There was going to be peace again. The mind stayed on truth brought perfect peace, even though she didn't understand it fully. David's throne meant peace. She thought it was physical. We know it is spiritual. For those who have firmly Jesus firmly planted on the throne of their life, they will have peace on the inside. It doesn't matter what storm rages outside. For those who have someone else on the throne, they're going down. Next week, we're going to be talking about names in the vase again, talking about leading people to Jesus. We're going to be looking at the four spiritual laws. How many of you are familiar with the four spiritual laws? Can I just ask you one question leading to next week? How many of you actually cracked one open and used it this year in the life of someone? One four spiritual law. Three of you. We're going to deal with that later. In the four spiritual laws, it is amazing. I have sat down, I can't tell you with how many people, and what I've come to realize is if you can read, you can lead people to Jesus. How many of you in this room cannot read? Just raise your hand, would you? That is exciting. That means every one of us are qualified to be leading people to Jesus. Next week, we're going to do that. In that four spiritual law, here's what it says. It gives a picture of the throne of a person's life. Without Jesus on it, it is absolute chaos. All of a sudden, they come off the throne, they put Jesus on, God begins to put it in order. What Mary heard that day is your son is going to have the throne of David. Mary, just watch. Everything is coming into order. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is it possible to have Jesus as your Savior and not the Lord on your throne? Let me tell you, if 2020 did not shake you and reveal who's on your throne, 2021 will. I encourage you to get the right person on your throne, because without it, the waves will take you down. Would you write down number five? Number five, verse 33, Gabriel said, "Your son is going to reign over the house of Jacob forever." I want you to think, why did he not say, "Your son will raise over the house of Abraham forever"? Why did he not say, "Your son will reign over the house of Isaac forever"? I want you to ask that question when you look at it this week. Say, "Holy Spirit, how come? Why the house of Jacob?" Let me give you just a couple things. Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to what? Israel. It was Jacob who became Israel. Israel had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes. We know in the end time, 144,000 evangelists coming out of Israel, 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel. It was Jacob who was daddy who became Israel. For Mary, Jacob represented all the people of Israel, which meant no more division, no more divided people, no more divided Israel. He would be the king over all of the Jewish people. There would be unity among God's people. I want you to think about this. What she may not have seen is that the true Israel includes more than Jews. Let me say it again. The true Israel includes more than Jews. When God gave to Abraham and made a covenant with Abraham, God said, "Abraham, you will be the father of the people of Israel alone." Is that what he said? He said, "You will be the father of many nations." I want you to think about this. When Joseph and Mary took Jesus into the temple, Simeon showed up. We talked about that earlier in the week. And he saw Jesus, began to prophesy. Simeon prophesied, "This is the one who is for all people, Jews and Gentiles." Can you imagine him saying that in a Jewish temple? This Messiah is for the Gentiles too. I'm shocked Simeon wasn't stoned right there. Abraham was the father of many nations. But we see with clarity, we know that Jesus died for all people. We know that he is Lord over all. The Apostle Paul with Revelation, in Jesus, there's no male, female, Jew or Greek, slave or free. All are one in him. That's what it meant when your son will reign over all. That's what it meant. I want us to look at one word that God gave to Mary at the very end of that statement. It said, he will reign over the house of Jacob. What was the last word? He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Would you write down number 6? Gabriel said, his kingdom will have no end. His kingdom will have no end. If you are Mary, how do you wrap around your mind that my son's kingdom will not end? We have no problem in hindsight. We know that his kingdom is not of this world. We know his kingdom is for eternity. We're going to live forever with him. The earth is going to pass away. He won't pass away. Worldly kingdoms will burn. We're not going to burn. But for Mary, his kingdom will never end. I want you to think about this. She knew that Saul's kingdom ended. She knew that David's kingdom ended. She knew that Solomon's kingdom ended. She knew that Josiah's kingdom ended. She knew that Hezekiah's kingdom ended. They all ended. And now we are under Roman rule because those kingdoms has ended. But God is saying to me, my son, his kingdom will have no end. How do you wrap your head around that? I have no doubt the greatest test that Mary had in this mind anchor was at the foot of the cross when he was dying. When he died, God, I don't understand, but you told me his kingdom will never end. I'm convinced that's why she believed he would rise again. I'm convinced that's why I believe she believed easily when he rose again and said, Mary! The disciples doubted. In fact, the Bible says that when Jesus lifted off the ground, there were some that were still doubting. Can I tell you? Because of her mind anchor, Mary did not doubt. Mary knew his kingdom will never end. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it. Is that a mind anchor for you? God gave to Mary revelations and truths that held her in the midst of all of the storm. I want you to think about this. What keeps your mind focused in the storm? If I had time this morning, I would give you a sheet of paper and I would say to you, I want you to take 10 or 15 minutes and I want you to write down every mind anchor that God has given to you that in the storm, they hold you, they keep you from freaking, they keep you from being filled with fear, they keep you from doubting, they keep you from going down. I want you to write out your mind anchors. Can I ask you, how full would that sheet be? In 2020, we experienced some storms in our life we could not have imagined. Personally, in our family, in our world. So did some of you. I want to tell you, in 2021, it doesn't matter what's going to come. I don't care if the Chinese military move into Camrose and put down martial law. I don't care if you and I are forced to take vaccination at the head of the guillotine. Either you take it or you lose it. don't care if you and I spend time in prison and we are reprogrammed as they pump propaganda in our head over and over. I don't care if they clean out our retirement and wipe out our RSPs and take our property from us. Can I ask you if we have the mind anchor? We're not going down. But without those mind anchors, somebody says, you Bible freak, you are a hindrance to this society. You are anti-Canadian. You shouldn't be allowed to live. There's going to be a great harvest, but there's going to be a great falling away. What is holding you is going to be tested. Every anchor that you have inside of you is going to be tested by the wind and storm. And if the anchors are not there, you're going down. Isaiah 26:3. The mind stayed on thee has perfect peace. Can I tell you what I believe with all my heart? We're entering into a day where I believe one of the greatest witnesses you and I are going to have on this earth is when the world is freaking and you and I are not freaking, our peace is going to be a witness. And when people come to you and they say, how come you're not freaking? How come you're not? How come you're not? How come? How, everybody, how come? How come this isn't moving you? How come this isn't? How come? I believe one of the names of Jesus was Prince of Peace, wasn't it? And how is it that he is able to fill us with a peace that passes understanding? Can I tell you how? Because he has put inside of us truths that have become anchors that when the storm comes, they hold us. Your peace will be a witness. And your lack of it will speak just as loudly. The heart of the Father in the midst of what is coming. And I don't care if the rapture is coming on January 29th or if it's not coming for 200 years, I couldn't care less. Storms have always been and they are always going to be. Either we walk above them or they take us down. The heart of the Father is not one of his children in the storms of 2021. Take us beneath the wave. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Before I pray this morning, there might be one of you, as you have listened this morning, going, oh my goodness. I've been in the church, but I recognize that if Christ were to come back today, I have no assurance of eternity with him. The Bible says very clearly, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And if that is the cry of your heart today, I just invite you to pray with me, Lord Jesus. I thank you for coming to this earth, for living a perfect life, and for taking my sin upon yourself on the cross of Calvary. I thank you for rising again from the dead. And today is an act of faith. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life, to be my Savior, and to be my Lord. Right now, I step off the throne of my life, and I ask you to take that position. And I give you the freedom to have your way in me and through me. If you prayed that prayer, we believe you've been born again and you are now part of the family of God. But those of you who are part of the family of God this morning, the Father is saying to you today that I am wanting you to have mind anchors that will hold you in the midst of what is coming. Not only so that you are not sinking beneath the waves, but that you are so firmly above them, you are able to reach down and grab the Peters that are going down and lift them up and give them anchors so they can walk above the storm. For those of you today who recognize that you are missing truths because you're walking in fear, you're walking in anxiety, you're walking in insecurity, today the Father is saying to you, I want to give you truths. I gave them to Mary and it held her. I'm giving them to you and it will hold you. You will know the truths and the truths will set you free. If that is you today and you know you are needing a change in your belief, you are needing mind anchors, would you just right now between you and the Lord say, Father, I give you permission to speak into my life, to give me the revelations of truth that will hold me so no storm will move me. Would you cause me to walk above? Father, right now, you know every heart. You know every mind. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move powerfully. And you would bring us to a place where the mind anchors in our life are so solid, we will not be moved. Seal what you have done here today. Continue to speak powerfully as we leave this place. And bring us to the place where we literally have the mind of Christ. I declare to you today what you already know. The Lord has blessed you and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and filled you with his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving said, Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. The next time we see you, it'll be 2021. And as a child of God with mind anchors, we are ready. Have a great week.